Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Squad Goals by Erica J. Kendrick, narrated by Jonice Abbott Pratt. Chapter 1. I've never wanted anything more than I wanted this. Ready? A spirited voice peps from the middle of the gymnasium court. I'm slouched behind the bleachers, gawking at the shiny Valentine Middle School honeybee cheerleaders who are posted on all four sides of the oversized bee in the middle of the floor. That's when the crowd yells back, "Okay!" Then, two honeys speed somersault across the gymnasium in front of a triangular formation of pink and gold girls. I watch the first honey launch into a toe touch and follow that up with a high pike. Then, the girl behind her hits the exact same jump. And then, the girl behind her. And when they come up for air, the crowd is on their feet, chanting with them. From the east to the west, the honeybees, we are the best. See, the honeybees, well, they're perfection. In the natural order of things, they're at the tippy top of the human pyramid. And Gia Carlisle is their queen bee. Seventh grade super captain of the Valentine Middle School cheerleading team, Gia, shakes her sparkly pom-poms from center court, hitting every sharp motion with precision. I glance down at my unlaced, muddy sneakers. I can barely walk in a straight line. We're gonna B-E-A-T beat 'em. B-U-S-T bust 'em. Beat 'em, bust 'em, that's our custom. Honeybees, we'll readjust 'em. While the girls power flip around the court, hitting four transitions and level changes, I shove a Twix into my mouth and suck most of the chocolate from my fingertips. The leftover crunchy caramel gooiness ends up on my faded Valentine middle tee. When I look up, the squad has launched into a stacked pyramid, with the tiny flyer at the top holding her leg in the air, high above her head. Then she lowers it and shoots into a toe-touch basket toss way over the net. It feels like she's soaring for two forevers while everyone is screaming, B-aggressive, B-E-aggressive, B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. One honeybee runs toward the crowd and cartwheels into a front twisty flip and intentionally lands on her butt. Within seconds, the other girls follow. As they land, they thrust their arms into the air and form three rows of high V's. They mean business as they shout, T-A-K-E-D-O-W-N. Honeybees, we want a takedown. Honeybees, we want to win. The crowd is roaring so loud, it feels like the whole gymnasium is shaking. Another round of applause for our district cheer champions, Coach Cassidy screams into the microphone. She stands in front of the honeys with her bangs bouncing over her forehead. Thank you again for coming out to the Valentine Middle Exhibition Rally. With just 1 week left in the school year, it's time to make those big summer plans. So if you'll be starting 6th, 7th, or 8th grade in the fall, we'd definitely love for you to join us for summer camp. For those of you who are thinking about signing up for Planet Pom Poms, registration is now open in front of the locker rooms. My eyes follow her French manicured nails. It's now or never. I'd been counting down the years, months, and days leading up to this very moment. And now, it's time to write my name on that registration form. It was the only way. At our school, girls went to cheer camp to become honeybees. It was a rite of passage. And now, it's my turn. My turn to have a magical summer and stand in formation, shiny and bubbly, dancing to the perfect honeybee beat. Even though making the team seems like the opposite of possible, I'm depending on 3 weeks of camp and a little bit of divine intervention to help me make it happen. Coach gives us the rundown for the next 3 weeks. And we're looking forward to our amazing signature summer camp events that I'm sure you've all been buzzing about. The pom-pom bonfire, the honeybee carnival, and, as usual, cuts will be made after performances at the big midsummer family brunch, and then again at the honeybee friends and family finale. Coach's head hyperspins around the gymnasium, causing her perfect pony to frizz. The hip-hop song starts, and she dazzles the crowd with a megawatt smile. We hope to see you all there. I'm now standing in front of the bleachers, right next to the registration table, watching Coach as she walks past me. I take a deep breath and muster the nerve to make this big declaration. I'd like to sign up for camp, I say to Coach Cassidy's back. Well, hi, Magic, she says, turning around with confusion written all over her face. I didn't know you wanted to be a honeybee. I thought you were coding or skating or something. Coach points her finger at my mouth. It takes a few seconds before I get the hint and follow her pointy nails to the chocolate stuck to my chin. Coach, I say, swiping at my chin with the bottom of my tee. This is the year that all the Poindexter girls join the honeybees. I'm 12 years old, I proclaim, and now it's my turn. Even though I don't fit the typical honeybee image, I've always dreamed of having my picture taken, holding my prized pom-poms, just like all the other glammy girls in my family. And they've always said it was in my DNA, buried deep in my DNA, maybe, but still there, somewhere. It's no secret that I'm the granddaughter of the first black honeybee to ever hit the floor. And to add to that piece of Valentine trivia, I'm also the daughter of one of the most celebrated Valentine alumni homecoming couples, a Los Angeles Lakers Hall of Famer, and his equally beloved former Laker girl wife. And now, my fabulously flawless big sister, Fortune, is the face of the uber-hot Lakers cheer squad. This season, she's even on the supersized jumbo billboard at the corner of Sunset and Vine. So, no pressure, said no one ever. Well, Magic, we'd love to have you, Coach says, sliding the registration form in front of me. I take a deep breath and scribble my name on the line under five other middle schoolers. It's official. I'm going to camp. And so is Cappy, I think, as I scribble my favorite and only friend's name, too. What's happening here? My best friend's voice startles me. I stumble over myself when I turn around. Capricorn Reese, my gorgeous, semi-famous best friend, snatches the paper from me. I'm going to camp. She dangles the Planet Pom-Pom summer registration form in front of me. And why is my name written under yours? I try to flash her my most charming smile. Because you are too? As if. She twists her CoverGirl features into a sour face. Not now, not ever. I reach for my inhaler. But Magic, are you nuts? I try to snatch the form back from her. I don't want to be a cheer chicken. That's your thing. Her vintage motorcycle jacket hangs over her, I don't care, gray cropped tee. But Cappy, I need you. And it's only for 3 weeks. I press my hands together and beg. You can be my secret weapon. You've watched them a million times, so you already know all the dance moves. And you can help me learn the signature cheers and stunts. You were made for this. And well, I glance down at my untied shoelaces and stained shirt. I wasn't. See, Cappy was an admired dancer even when she was just a tiny fetus in her mother's belly. By age 6, she could dance circles around any Disney darling. Plus, she's sizzly hot. And not just in a California bombshelly way, more like an anywhere in the galaxy kind of way. And she's mysterious with this razor-sharp edge. She did a Gerber's commercial when she was 5, and the word around kindergarten had been that she drove herself to set. Insiders swore they spotted her wearing combat boots, leather riding gloves, and a temporary python tattoo at 6 years old. And ever since, everyone wanted a piece of her, even the honeybees. But no matter how much the honeys tried to recruit her, she wanted nothing to do with them. She was my best friend. "They're posers," she'd say, every time the honeybees buzzed through the halls of Valentine. But she was smitten with the Laker girls. Now, they're legit. I rest my hand on Cappy's shoulder. "Are you really going to leave me to fight off the killer bees alone?" I nod at Gia and her co-captain, Eve Lopez. They're lethal. But Cappy? She's dangerous and well-respected. Me? Not so much. Cappy rolls her eyes at me. "You know I planned on catching waves this summer." She was becoming an epic surfer and was already being watched by some of the elite junior pro surfing teams. Some people look up to Jesus, but Cappy is my shero. "But I need you more than the waves do," I beg again. "I really want to give this a shot, even if I don't make it. You know it's always been my dream." I look her straight in the eyes. "Plus, I want to make the Poindexters proud." She studies my face as I mouth, "Pretty please," at her. "You probably want this cheer chicken crap more than anyone in here." My head bobs up and down as she looks around the packed gymnasium filled with honeybee wannabes. After studying my sad face, she throws her arm over my shoulder and grins. "Does this mean?" I stammer. "You know those girls are champions, right? That's who you're going up against. I work really hard, Cappy. I want to be a champion, too." "What am I getting myself into? You're going to owe me big time. But I guess since you've wanted this your whole life," she says, sliding the registration form across the table and turning to the crowd. "And yeah, you're definitely going to need some reinforcements with all this competition." I follow her gaze through the thick crowd and stop when my eyes land on Dallas Chase. Boy wonder. I sigh loudly. "And bonus," Cappy snarks, patting down my undisciplined, wiry curls. "He'll be there too." "Boy wonderful. Boy wonder," I correct her, trying to look away. But no such luck. I'm staring right along with Cappy and the rest of the gymnasium. It's no secret. Dallas Chase is a living legend and the rock star football quarterback for Valentine Middle. Rumor was that he moved here when his parents divorced 2 years ago from somewhere sophisticated, like New York City. Manhattan is still the best guess, but no one really knows for sure. He's the definition of cool. The town papers bragged that he's set to be the next star quarterback to step onto Valentine High's football field. Big colleges are already lining up to sit on the sidelines. He has his own entourage, and sometimes camera crews even follow him around. "Magic!" I hear echoes of Cappy's voice, but I can only focus on Dallas Chase, boy of many talents, including making girls, old ladies, and even animals faint. Once upon a time, he looked at me, and I swear I almost forgot my name. "Magic!" Cappy startles me. "Huh?" That's when Gia runs over and loops her arm through Dallas's. "Oh, yeah. Did I mention that she's already got her eye on him? I think I'm going to be sick, I say, watching her snuggle up to him in front of everyone. And I think you're a smitten kitten. Ew, he's a boy, and that's just, well, that's just perfectly gross. But my eyeballs are glued to the head cheerleader and the football star anyway. And I have no stinking idea why. I'm gagging and simultaneously trying to decide which is shinier. Gia's honey blonde highlighted hair, the bubblegum pom-pom she's holding, or her all-American toothy smile. In slow motion, she flings her head back into Dallas's arms and shakes out her Goldilocks mane. Ugh. Everyone knows that Gia has her claws in Dallas. I'd even seen their pictures online at some glittery charity gala for Habitat for Humanity. He was wearing a fancy black tuxedo with a junior ambassador pin under his left collar, and she was trying to hold his hand. Double. Ugh. And just think, you'll get to see that all summer. My eyes bug out of my head even more. Dallas is going to be at Planet Pom-Poms? Yep. He'll be right across the field for football camp. Doesn't matter to me. He doesn't even know I'm alive, I declare. I sulk when I see Gia prance around center court, spinning over the giant honeybee wings painted on the hardwood floor. Eve power twirls with Sammy, their third wheel. The rest of the squad gets in formation, and they begin the dazzling sideline chant that they always perform right before halftime. The crowd is under their spell. I stand on my tippy toes to get a better look. They are epic! A tiny seventh grader popcorns through the air as the squad yells, "Honeybees!" The gymnasium explodes into applause, and Gia and Eve begin one of their routines with wild stunts, crazy jumps, and a series of kicks that whiz way behind their ears. It's at that very moment that I start to shrink into myself and question my sanity. What was I thinking? Signing up for camp? I can barely touch my toes, I mutter to Cappy. That's why we're going to camp. Gotta start somewhere. She exhales and squeezes my hand. But they're so amazing, I sulk, feeling defeated. I don't know how I'm even going to make it past first cuts at midsummer. She winks at me and mimics the team's dance steps. Like you said, with a few secret weapons. She knows every dizzying move. She can do it all in her sleep. Basic stuff. She huffs. I sigh and spin around. Right into him. Dallas Chase. Boy wonder. And right now, at this very moment, he's watching me watch him.
You going to camp?
He shoves his prized hands into his black and gold football jacket. Cappy makes a silly face behind his head and forces me to giggle. She always knows what to say or do so that life makes sense. And she was right. With her by my side, and maybe a summer miracle, I could be the next shiny honeybee. Yeah, I say, matter of fact, I am.
Cool,
he says, and turns to walk away.
See you at camp, Magic Olive Poindexter.
That's my name. That's my exact name, and he knows it. He knows who I am. He climbs the bleachers to join his friends, but stops to turn back around and smile. I glance over my shoulder to see who's on the receiving end of it. But there's no one there. Just me. I try to move, but I can't feel my legs. I can't even make myself smile back. Cappy throws her arm over my shoulder. Looks like he knows you're alive after all. The honeybees spin around and take their final bows, and I still can't feel my legs. But I'm not the only one stuck. Gia isn't bowing or spinning or moving. In fact, she's glaring directly at us. Cappy leans into my side and draws an imaginary triangle between Dallas, Gia, and me.
Well, Magic, it looks like our summer just got interesting.
Chapter 2.
Magic! Magic!
The imaginary crowd explodes around me in my pink and gold bedroom as I continue to 5, 6, 7, 8 through the signature Valentine Middle School Honeybees cheer routine. My toes are pointed, sorta, and my arms are almost straight. My left foot chases my right one through a grapevine and preps for the perfectly timed double pirouette as I shuffle my feet around my room. The faces of my make-believe fans on all my posters mush together.
You got this, I reassure myself, and spot-check the plastic basketball net that's hanging from the back of my door. I step onto the ball of my right foot and pull myself around into a turn. But instead of a coordinated spin, my legs involuntarily wobble from side to side. Uh-oh. My arms flail around in the air. Ugh. I'm twirling at high speed, and I can't seem to regain control of my limbs. Yikes! As soon as I lose eye contact with the basket, I get super dizzy, and my body scrambles for balance, but it's already too late. I can't feel my feet anymore, and I crash into the oversized mirror against the wall. And then the worst thing happens. The mirror shatters into a zillion pieces. Mom rushes into the room screaming, "Oh my God! Pooh, are you okay?" When I pry my eyes open, she's leaning over me, raking her rainbow bright nails through my uncontrollable mousy brown curls. Perfect. I bury my head under my arms. 7 more years of bad luck. Were you trying to do the double pirouette into a leap jump again? Into the splits, I explain, lying face down on the floor. I can smell her perfume.
Right, right, she says, nodding. The signature routine?
More like my very bad attempt at it.
Did you forget to pull up from your core and spot?
Mom!
Massive exhale.
I peek from under my arm and eyeball my middle drawer. As she rubs my face like I'm a poodle, I reach for the drawer and pull out an open bag of Twizzlers from one of my not-so-secret stashes.
Pooh.
I shake a licorice stick at her. Comfort food is essential at a time like this. She shoots me an encouraging look.
Don't worry. You'll learn how to master this at cheer camp. And by the way, I'm so proud of you for signing up last week. You'll have those turns, leaps, and splits perfected by the end of the summer.
I try burying my head deeper into my armpit, but that doesn't work. I can still feel her watching me. I chew into the licorice. My mom doesn't get me. No one in this family gets me. If I didn't know better, I'd swear I was adopted. But whenever I start going down that road, Mom whips out the picture of my legendary grandmother, Hattie Mae Jones.
Genes are tricky, Pooh, she always says. But you're the spitting image of your Grammy Mae.
And like clockwork, she points out all the similarities.
Just look at that freckled nose, those high cheekbones, and those bushy brows, and that wild, fluffy hair, I say, before she does.
My eyes roll around in my head, and I mimic her.
You two could be twins.
Seriously, Pooh, you could.
Legend has it that Grammy Mae was a very special lady who had super special gifts. And so far, you're just like her in every way.
Then Mom pinches my cheeks and makes googly eyes at me. I crawl around the floor and pull myself onto the bed. My one-armed teddy bear, Barkley, is the only one who truly understands my pain. My sister Fortune comes in a close second, but I always wish I could be more like her twin, She's perfect. She never needs an inhaler. Hasn't worn braces a day in her life. She's long, lean, and luscious. And she's in her second year of being a professional cheerleader. She even just made captain of the Laker girls. Captain! I swallow a big ball of licorice and try to explain my dire circumstance to my mom, who still gets mistaken for being my other older sister instead of my mother. Mom, you don't get it. You shook your pom-poms as a Laker girl, just like Fortune. You can't possibly understand what I'm going through. I'm not built for this. How am I ever going to make the team? I stand up, grab a shirt from the edge of my bed, and try tugging the Adventure Time tee over my belly button. It doesn't budge. On cue, Mom ties a sweater around my uncooperative pudge. It's clear that I'm not the cheerleading type, I say, fighting an epic battle with my denim button fly. I flash my eyeballs at the ceiling. No, I'm more of the quintessential dark artist type. I nod back at Barkley. Or maybe I'm the coding geekster girl type. Okay, so I'm still trying to figure out this whole who am I thing. But I have no rhythm, two left feet, and zero sense of cool. So let's just say the perky, peppy cheerleader thing probably isn't me, no matter how much I always wanted it to be. But when I look down at Finn's supersized head on my shirt, I don't know how it'll ever be possible. Your legacy is what you are, Pooh. You're a Poindexter, and we were born to cheer. Don't get discouraged. You got this. You'll see. Mom snuggles into my neck. Besides, there's nothing dark about my Pooh Bear, she says, sitting on the bed beside Barkley and me. And we're so proud of you for joining the coding club, just like we were proud of you for joining the pie-eating club and the juggling club and the hair-braiding club.
And the cooking club, too.
Dad pipes as he passes my bedroom door with his head buried in his iPad. Thanks, I guess. Even though you didn't stick with any of them for more than a week, Mom glances at me and forces a smile. Still proud. Her eyes have that same look in them they did that one time Principal Pootie suspended me for starting a teeny-weeny kitchen fire in the cafeteria when I was trying to make Hot Pockets. After Mom negotiated with him, he lifted the suspension. But the ban on me being in the cooking club and within 50 feet of the cafeteria kitchen, well, that one stuck. You're going to be a honeybee too, Pooh, just like the rest of the girls in the family. You just have to believe. She bets her long, thick lashes. I bet that's what wore Principal Pootie down. But how do you know? Mom takes a deep breath and turns to leave the room. I think it's time. Time for what? Be right back, she says, and disappears down the hall. I fall onto my pillow and hear the Twix cookie bar hidden there, break in half right under my head. Mom dances into the room, wearing a proud smile and holding a threadbare pink and gold bag in her arms. These are for you. What's this? I ask, hopping up from the bed. I pad over to her and inspect the bag. Valentine Middle Honeybees is written across one side in a faded cursive script. Mom opens the bag and pulls out a pair of big, fluffy pink and gold pom-poms. These were your Grammy Mae's. I gasp. Her pom-poms? Mom places the poms in my hands and says, she made sure we kept them just for you. There's no one else she wanted to have them. Grammy Mae is an icon in our family, the wise matriarch of the Poindexter clan. But to me, she was even larger than life, my real superhero. She had a way of always making me feel like I was the only
Sample complete. Ready to continue?